Hey, everybody, welcome to the Freedom Nation podcast for another episode of Freedom Nation. And on today's show, I've got Giancarlo Carangelo. He'll correct me, I'm sure. And he is a real estate investor. He didn't start that way. In fact, you're going to hear a really interesting story of how he got started in the real estate business and how his career grew. And for those of you that are sitting out there, whether you're sitting in a cubicle or you've got a business and you're trying to figure out, okay, how do I do something different? How do I bring in some additional outside money? He's going to give you some great tips on how to get there. And you'll get an interesting take on how he got started, that it doesn't matter how much education you have, you can do this. So stay tuned. We'll be right back on in just a second.
Welcome to the Freedom Nation podcast with Jeff Kickle. On this show, Jeff shares his expertise in financial and retirement planning from a different perspective. Planning for your Freedom Day, which is the first day that you wake up and have enough income or assets and do not have to go to work that day. Learn how to calculate what you need, how to generate income sources, and listen to interviews from others who've done it themselves. Get ready to experience your own Freedom Day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Giancarlo, how you doing, bud?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. How do you pronounce the last name?
So my last name is Carangelo. So just
Carangelo.
Think of Car, okay. And the name Angelo. Together.
Yep. Yeah. Well, it's simple. Yeah. I tried to make it harder than it was. All right, buddy. Well, tell us a little bit about your story. How did you get started in the real estate industry?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, I got started in real estate approximately 10 years ago now, 2015. I kind of just fell into this. You know, I don't have an extensive academic background. I dropped out of high school at the age of 16, and I just focused on working. And I came to a point in my life where I worked in restaurants and hotels, the hospitality industry. When I wanted to do something more, because I working these shifts was just long and hard and tiring. And yeah. I was, you know, evaluating my options. And fortunately, as a high school dropout, there's not many things you could do, right? And I came across a college course here in Montreal where I live, and it was a college course to become a real estate agent. And for me at the time, that was probably right up there with being a lawyer, you know, and the best thing I could have done for myself. And, you know, so I went all in and I said, this would be a great way to get into the business, get into real estate and learn it. And I took a course. I became a real estate agent at first. And that led into me, you know, evolving into a property manager. Okay. And then it just opened up so many doors within the real estate sector.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So now getting into the real estate sector. So you still do property management, correct?
Yeah. So today I am a real estate investor, mentor, and property manager.
Perfect.
I still have my property management business that I've opened in 2018.
Nice. So tell us a little bit about that transition into real estate investing. What did you do to get into that? Let me ask it in a different way. How did you leg into it? There's a lot of different ways. I mean, you can wholesale, you can do a lot of different things. How did you get into it specifically?
You know, I had the advantage of learning real estate as a real estate agent.
Yeah.
And it was basically, I was brokering transactions and deals, and I really got to learn the business from two sides of the fence, from the real estate agent's perspective and the investor's perspective.
Got it.
And that's how it kind of bled into property management, where I saw an opportunity to do property management. And then I saw an opportunity to do my own investing.
Yeah.
Once I had learned both sectors, acquisitions and management, I said, you know, now it's just time for me to become a real estate investor.
Absolutely. Now, as a real estate agent, were you working with investors in that process?
As a real estate agent... Yeah, as a real estate agent, I determined fairly quickly that I wanted to work with investor-minded clients. you know, it removed the whole emotional aspect from it. And, you know, emotions and business, sometimes it could get in the way. And I realized, okay, so I want to work with investor-focused clients. Mm-hmm. People who are buying properties to rent them out for buy and hold or fix and flips.
Yeah.
And that's where I really determined my niche when it came to my business.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the biggest thing. You know, you have to figure that. I if I had ever gotten into real estate, I would have to do that as well. Because I have no emotion when it comes to real estate. It's an asset, and that is it. I could care less what the property looks like. It's, can it make me money, or can I get the deal for as low of a price as I possibly can? You know, so any house I've ever bought has been from that approach and everything else. So I see where you're coming from. I mean, it's just easier to deal with that. And, you know, I mean, it becomes more of a financial decision than it is about any kind of emotion at all.
Exactly.
Or at least exactly. Should be.
At least should be. Yeah. At least, and I understand, you know, when, you know, you're looking to start a family and buy a house and, you know, it's really emotional and you're thinking of your livelihood and your future. But I was always a business and an entrepreneurial person. Like, yeah. Even from before my before my high school days, I was that guy in high school who was, you know, buying in bulk orders replica sports jerseys and selling them to the students around. I had that entrepreneurial mindset right from the beginning. So
yeah,
that's how I decided to really narrow in on my niche.
Makes sense. So let's say you're sitting there, like one of our folks that's listening today. They want to get into real estate. You know, they're going in, sitting down in a cubicle every day, working a job. What would you recommend for somebody that wants to get into real estate investment? What are some of the steps? Would it be getting into real estate as an agent or just go directly into the investment route?
So for anyone who's looking to get into real estate and become a real estate investment, I think the first step I would definitely say to take is educate and inform yourself.
Okay.
We were just talking before the show, right? There's plenty different, you know, avenues of real estate investment. For example, I named buy and hold and fix and flip. And then there's also wholesaling. So there's different channels, and every individual is a different type of real estate investor. So really inform and educate yourself on the different avenues. And then choose whatever avenue or strategy you feel meets more your personality.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're more hands-on and you have, for example, a construction background, maybe you're someone who's going to do well with fix and flips, especially if you know how to renovate a property A to Z, right? And that's definitely the first one. And then afterwards, I would say look for other real estate investors or investment communities where you could network. Maybe find a coach or a mentor to help you, help you with your strategy and execution.
Okay.
And there's plenty of things out there that you could do to prepare yourself before becoming a real estate investor or to become a real estate investor.
Makes sense. Very cool. So, you know, getting into it, I mean, yes, you've been very successful from what I understand. What are some of the challenges that you got through, you know, as a real estate investor that people need to know?
You need to be resilient, you know, and resiliency, I think, is, look, I'm a sports fan, and resilient teams win the championships.
Yeah.
If you're down, you know, hockey 3-1 in a series, the series is not over because you're down 3-1. You could still win, you know?
Yeah.
And so business is just the same. You're going to have days that are going to peak, and you're going to have days that are going to valley. Just the same way as there's going to be some months where you're going to have sales and income versus that income stream is going to tighten down. Have resilience. Yeah. You know, that's number one. And at first, I didn't have that thick skin. I didn't have that resilience. I got discouraged a lot, you know, but that builds up over time. So if you're going to venture out into a business like real estate investing, be sure to think long term.
Okay.
And understand that short actionable steps will lead you to the long term results.
Excellent. So, you know, you kind of developed a group of folks around you and everything else, you are now coaching people in that process. So tell us a little bit about that. What's that like to coach others, and how do you do that when you're working with people?
So essentially, I mean, I love teaching people, you know, and I love helping people reach their goals and achieve the results that they want to achieve. Mm-hmm. And I love it even more so when I meet someone who has the same doubt and the same fear that I have when I got into this business, you know, and I like to show them based on my on tried, tested, proven strategies that with a little bit of determination, preparation, and resiliency, you can make it happen too, right? And
yeah,
I really enjoy watching them evolve in front of me, you know, as an individual, as a professional. For example, one of my partners who's been working with me for 8 years now,
wow,
you know, I've been working with him fresh out of, as soon as he got into the business, we started working together.
Okay.
You know, and he's evolved into such a great investor and professional now that it's like, it's great to see the change, the positive change happen in people's lives.
Yeah.
You know, so I really enjoy that aspect and just teaching and communicating and helping people, you know, achieve the results that they're looking for.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So if somebody comes to you, what's kind of your process when they say, hey, Giancarlo, I want you to help me help me become a real estate investor. What's the process that you're going to take them through?
Well, first we're going to have a little meeting. I need to understand where they're coming from. I need to understand their thought process too, right? Okay. How long have they been thinking about this? What have they been thinking about? Have they done some sort of self-evaluation in terms of, you know, I always tell people the first thing to do, if you haven't already, is to do a self-evaluation. What type of investor are you, right? Are you someone who's hands-on, someone who's hands-off? Really get to know yourself as an investor.
Got it.
So I try to get to know the person that I'm going to work with and also see if they got to know themselves, because that's a great starting point. If you come to me and say, you know, I am hands-on, I know how to do all this, but I don't know which investment avenue I should take, right? Versus, oh, I haven't done a self-evaluation and I don't know how to, you know, change a toilet, or I don't know how to do this. I'm not really hands-on, right? Which is fine too, because I'm not hands-on at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not hands-on, but that's where the self-evaluation
Or should you be, you know, if you're an investor, should you be that? I mean,
exactly.
If you can't build the purchase that you're going to make without you being involved in every aspect of it, you're just gonna not do well.
I tell people, you know, do you want to invest in your freedom or do you want to invest in a job?
Yeah.
Because I work, you know, I coach some people who are hands-on because their father was in construction, they're in construction, and they say, you know, I could renovate the apartment or I could cut the grass in my building. Why would I pay a landscaper a year? That's fine if you have one building, but what happens when you have 5, 6?
Yeah.
Are you going to spend your Saturdays cutting your grass on all 6 buildings, or, you know, having a barbecue with your family?
Yeah.
Right.
Or should you be doing that when you could go out and find a 6th building?
Exactly. Right. So I help them really understand that. And it's interesting because sometimes I work with a hands-on person who, when I explain this to him and I break it down to him, he's like, you're right. And he takes a step back. Right. So,
yep.
It's helping them shift from a worker's mentality to an investor's mentality.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, some of the properties we've invested in, I've never actually even been to at that point, because we buy them in different states. And, you know, it's like, I've never been to, I don't want to, I don't need to, you know, I handle the financial transaction. Somebody else can do the property management. Somebody else can, you know, mow the lawns and everything else. I don't want to have to deal with any of that stuff. And honestly, I don't want to have to talk to a tenant. That's what a property manager is there for. So more power to you, bud. You can have them all. So if somebody says, okay, I want to make this a full-time career,
right?
What would you say? I mean, realistic time horizon. I mean, there's a lot of variables. But realistic time horizon, somebody that's doing this part-time, to make enough to live on, what do you think it's going to take for the typical real estate investor?
So, and then don't get me wrong, I started doing this part-time too. And then in 2016, I broke free from the restaurants and the hotels and you know, all that stuff. And I went 100% into real estate, and I've been full-time in real estate. But if you're going to do it part-time, make yourself a five-year plan.
Okay.
If you're going to do it full-time, make it a three-year plan.
Okay.
Because full-time, you're plugging it away, you're dedicating your 35, 40 hours a week to investing to your projects. So you could fast track the success in three years. If it's part-time, which I know plenty of people who, you know, back here in Montreal, they have their corporate 9-to-5s and they invest on the side, and what their properties are bringing them on the side is equal to their 9-to-5 salary.
Yeah. Right?
But what don't you get with that investor's lifestyle? You don't get the insurance, the vacations, the sick days, the benefits, the holidays. And that's what, you know, like, for example, some people that I work with, they supplement their income with their investments, and they're doing this part-time. But it took them 4 years to get it to an equal level. Yeah. So if you're part-time, make it a five-year plan.
Yeah. But I mean, it's what I would call Freedom Day at that point, because, you know, all right, you don't have any money stress anymore. I mean, if you lost your job tomorrow, you'd still be making at least what your salary was at that point. So, you know, I mean, when we talk to people, or when I coach and work with people on trying to get to that Freedom Day, the first question I get is, well, do I have to quit my job? And I'm like, do you like your job?
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
If you hate your job, you're probably going to be a really crappy employee. I'm just guessing. If you know you didn't have to get up and go to work that day, you're going to probably be a terrible employee, because you're going to have an attitude or a chip on your shoulder if you don't enjoy your job. But if you love what you do, why not keep doing it? You know, you get the vacations, you get that extra money coming in that can continue to grow and build that side income, even bigger. And then you're in retirement and you don't have to worry about it anymore.
Exactly. Well, but you need to find that balance. If you're going to do both, have that balance, because you don't want to become the crappy employee.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And you don't necessarily want to sacrifice the investing. See, I also think that they have to blend well, because, for example, when I was in the restaurant background, it got to a point where I worked in the restaurant as a waiter for the first year of my career. And then it got to a point where one was impeding the other. And I didn't want my career. I didn't want my job to trump my career. So I had to, you know, Freedom Day. I had my Freedom Day, and I cut the tie there. Right. But definitely I would agree with you.
So when you're working with somebody, is it, are you basically doing that on a monthly program fee, or are you participating in deals with them? How do you typically get compensated for doing what you do?
So we have an online academy and like a tuition structure. Okay.
Got it.
That's basically what I would say the entry point for most of our community, especially the ones who are coming as new investors looking to accumulate their first five properties, let's say. And then afterwards, for those who are more experienced, and let's say whether they've been in the community and they've gained this experience the last 2 years, or they come in as a member of the community with already a background and experience, we collaborate a lot more. So there's a lot more collaborations to making deals happen and making money together. So whether that looks like a simple, you know, if a deal comes through my pipeline and it's a fix and flip, I don't fix and flip, but Jeff does. Yep. I'll call Jeff up. Hey, Jeff, I got this deal here. This is how much you can make. You want in, you know, and there's a collaboration going on.
Yeah.
Or if there's a joint venture, you know, we take on a project together, right? So there's multiple ways, you know, of being a community member.
That's actually a pretty smart, you're basically training your future partners, which is actually pretty smart in the long run. So well,
in any business that you're in, collaboration is key.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're working with someone and it's like, at the end of the day, we all want to make a deal, right? Whatever business we're in. So everybody has to have a win-win scenario. Everybody's got to earn and win something. That comes with a collaborative mindset. A competitive mindset impedes on that.
Yeah.
You know? So definitely, you know, when we started this community, we really had the vision of developing a community of investors that we could all one day collaborate with, and they could collaborate together. Right.
Like it. Very cool. Yeah. Well, let's transition here to the fast five questions. Ready?
I'm ready.
All right. First question. You wake up in the morning, business is gone. You have $500 in your pocket, a laptop computer, a place to live. What are you going to do first?
If I wake up in the morning and my business is gone, I'm going to take all that knowledge that I've absorbed in the last 10 years and I'm going to implement it into a new strategy. So if I have $500 in my pocket and I have a place to live, well, I know that my original investment model, which was long-term buy and holds, won't work. So I will have to switch my investment mindset to more of a short-term mindset.
Got
help myself build that capital back up. Whatever the plan is, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years. And then once I build that capital back up and go from $500 in my pocket to, let's say, 500,000, then I could readjust my strategy to more of a long-term scalable model.
Yeah. Cool. That's what I like that. I like that. What's your biggest business mistake?
Ooh.
Just pick one.
Yeah.
We've all had plenty.
I think the biggest mistake that I made in business was having the lone wolf mindset, thinking I could do it by myself, not investing in, and I don't want to sound biased, but not investing in coaching or mentoring, but really thinking I could do it myself. That would be my biggest business mistake.
Yeah. And I totally agree with you. I mean, working with business owners and multiple types of businesses over the years, I just honestly could tell exactly when their business was beginning to fail because they just start to retract and get away, you know, because they feel like, oh, I'm not successful. I don't want to be around other people. And that's exactly the time you should go the opposite direction. You need to get around other people because everybody experiences this. We were talking about this before the show. Never fails. You wake up one morning thinking everything's good and then you get kicked in the teeth by your business. And, you know, multiple times over the years that I've been in business, I would have given you some of my businesses for a dollar just to get them off my hands at that point.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So what's a good book that you'd recommend for our audience?
Wow. There's so many of them. This is another great question, you know, because I've recently got into books maybe about 5 years ago, and every year I've been making it a personal goal to read a new amount of books. But I think I'm going to tailor it more specifically to someone who's looking, let's say a real estate investor. Money People Deal by Stefan Arneil was a book that helped change my career.
Really? Interesting.
And it really teaches you about the three parts to make a deal happen. You need the money, you need the people, you need the deal. I could always say there's other books like Atomic Habits, The 4-Hour Work Week that really helped me fine tune my business. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you got to start somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. But my number one is Money People Deal.
Money People Deal. I like that. What's a tool that you use in your business every day that you might recommend?
I don't know if I'd recommend it. It's necessary, but my cell phone is my biggest tool.
Sure.
I could be anywhere in the world and I will have access to every software and every platform that I need through my cell phone.
Yeah.
You know, that is my honest answer, right? Because I could control everything from my cell phone.
Well, it's funny because I own launching a bookkeeping and tax service, and you know, it's all through Intuit and with QuickBooks and everything else. And I was sitting the other day and I didn't realize I hadn't been on the phone software since I did all this stuff. I go on there and I'm like, holy crap, I can basically run my whole bookkeeping business directly from my phone.
Yeah.
Because I can log into it from there because it's all, you know, it's all online software and everything. So,
and every system that I use, every CRM system, every, yep. like everything has an app nowadays.
Yep.
Even yeah. my, you know, for on my management side, my accounting software, Wave Financial, I think we use, has an app, yeah. right? And, it, and it's just, so the cell phone is the tool that keeps all these, centralized, all these tools centralized.
Yeah, so. Makes sense. Last question. What is your definition of freedom?
So my definition of freedom is being able to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and not have to worry about getting the time off or having a boss approve. And if I want to go and pick up and take my family to Florida tomorrow for the week on the beach, I don't need to worry about getting a time off request approved or not. Being yeah. able to spend time with my family and just little things like eating breakfast together in the morning before going off about your day or being there for supper every night.
Yeah.
You know, that's my definition of freedom.
Well, and I would say too, if you've got kids, you know, the ability to, and owning a co-working space, I see this, you know, hey, my kid's got to play, you know, or they're doing some kind of like parent lunch thing. You're not that parent who can't get away from work to get
exactly.
there. You can go. Yeah. You can go and be there for your kids. And as my friend Jim Shields puts it there, he's got what he calls the 17 summers project, which is, you know, you've got basically 17 summers with your kids, make yeah. the best of every single one of them at exactly. that point. So.
Exactly. So that for me is real freedom, you know, being yeah. able to do it. And so many people that I've seen and, you know, growing up and everything, you know, not there for soccer games or even just like friends' dads back in those days, right? Not yeah. there for soccer games and not there for tournaments and championships, you know,
yeah.
so being able to control your time for me yep. and really be the one who controls your time and not have to worry about getting a stamp of approval for yep. a day off or, you know, vacation is the real definition of freedom for me.
Besides from your spouse. I mean, that's a whole nother subject.
Yeah. That's my only boss. That's my only boss. Yeah. That's the only exactly. one.
Yeah. I work with my wife. So yeah, that she's get back to work, go make money.
Yeah. yeah.
All right, my friend. Well, if somebody is interested in learning a little bit more about the mentorship program you have or anything more about you, where's the best place to find your information?
So you could definitely, I'm most active on Instagram at okay. Carangelo Real Estate is my handle. So Carangelo Real Estate.
Okay.
Within that Instagram, you could send me a private message, reach out. We could, you know, schedule a virtual call, you know, really yeah. talk, brainstorm. And there's my link tree in my profile that has all the links to my websites and every other yeah. channel that you could reach me on.
Makes sense. Love mm-hmm. it. All right, my friend. Well, thank you for joining us on the show today. Great advice. Folks, reach out to him. If you want somebody to coach you through, he's your guy. So thanks a lot. And we will see you guys back here the very next time.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Nation Podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and all the major channels. Wherever you're listening, please subscribe to the channel and leave a rating and review. If you have friends and family that could benefit from their own Freedom Day, please share with them. Finally, join Freedom Nation by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.